Thank you for tuning in to Vine Life with host Janine Davis and special guest, international evangelist Stephen Evans of Light of Life International.
Good morning. Welcome to Vine Life. I'm your host, Janine Davis. This morning, we have several special guests with us. So before I announce who they are, I'm going to ask that you call up your girlfriends, your friends, your neighbors, your church community, and join us this morning. This morning, we have Stephen Evans, and we have Dennis, and we have Brendan. Hi, Brendan.
Howdy.
And I'm going to tell you a little bit about Stephen Evans. He's over and has founded and ministers in Lowly, which means Light of Life International. Stephen was born in Australia, and he met Jesus at 4 years old. He grew up in a Christian family. His dad is Desmond Evans, who was a senior pastor here in Fort Worth for over 30 years. Stephen has traveled with his dad in other ministries all over the world, sharing the love of Jesus in orphanages, hospitals. In the May of 1996, Stephen joined the staff of Bethesda Community Church in Fort Worth, Texas. And in May, he married Elisa. They now have 2 children. In December of 2000, Stephen earned his Master of Divinity with Biblical Languages at Southwest Baptist Theological Seminary. In January, Stephen joined evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, and that was in 2004, as his personal assistant, traveling to Port Harcourt in Nigeria. This time has sharpened Stephen's faith and expanded his vision for the citywide evangelism and national transformation. They set out to pursue the calling to win souls, and that is how the Light of Life International started. Good morning, Stephen.
Hey, good morning. It's fantastic being here with you today.
Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
It is great to be here. And good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, Jesus.
Now, listen, we're going to start this because with my audience, I always, even though I gave a little bit about your bio or whatever, Dennis, why don't you tell us a little bit about you, who you are in relation to Stephen, in relation to the ministry, which is Lowly Light of Life International.
Yes. You know how God connects you, mm-hmm. and there are connections that make the kingdom enlarge. And I had the opportunity of meeting Stephen in the year 2004, and we started to dream. He just came back from Africa, and he had a passion for Latin America. And we already started involved with a crusade ministry. And that's how we connected. We connected in Honduras. And he was there preaching at a summit for pastors. And we started to dream for almost like a year about what would be the next step. And from then on, our friendship and our lives got connected in God's purpose. And we've seen thousands of people getting saved. We've done over 22 crusades in different countries, even in the Caribbean. And the Lord's been amazing. And I'm amazed of where we started and where we are at and also where we're going.
Amen.
So it's been a great journey.
Okay. Now, Dennis, you are a native of Honduras. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
So you saw the condition of the people.
Yes.
Of the government, of the church.
Yes, totally. There is so many background on the church, on the government, on the country. There is such a need. We lack many things, but what we need is a word of encouragement.
Amen.
A word of hope.
Yes.
And that's the gospel. It's good news.
Yes.
So God bless all the ministries, and in particular, Light of Life International, that has decided to come one and more than 50 times, bringing containers of food, bringing flip-flops, bringing food, clothing. And it's been an amazing journey because many people have been impacted. In Africa, they say, if the stomach is empty, I don't want to listen. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. if the stomach is full, tell me what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And through this ministry, we've seen needs of people being
mm-hmm.
met.
Mm-hmm.
And that has also given us the opportunity to express the love of Jesus.
Okay. Now, give us a quick synopsis of Honduras. Tell us what the industry is, how many people live there. Tell us about the economic levels in Honduras. And also let the audience know about Christianity over there, about God. And is it mostly Christianity? Is it Catholicism? What is the main religious views there?
Yes, well, Honduras, like most of Latin American countries, have a Catholic background.
Mm-hmm.
In the year 1950, it was like maybe 2% Christian.
Okay.
And by the year 1990, it was maybe around 12% Christian.
Okay.
But since 1990 to the actual date, it's grown to be over 40% Christian.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you gotta see that there is revival.
There's revival
happening in these countries.
Yes.
Many things, you know, the Lord is moving in such a great way.
Mm-hmm.
There's like over 8 million people.
Okay.
That's the population of Honduras.
Okay.
And Honduras, the people are very warm, are very open to receive Americans, and there is I would say that there was a prophetic timing for this visit with Light of Life International, because Honduras just had a coup on the president that was there like 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the country was divided. Some of them against, some of them in favor.
Mm-hmm.
That even divided churches and families.
Okay.
So God brought this ministry, and there's a powerful anointing on Light of Life International that manifests the spirit of unity.
Mm-hmm.
Even where we've gone to areas where there were no association of pastors,
mm-hmm.
and now they've been established.
Mm-hmm.
So God brought this ministry in the perfect time,
mm-hmm.
where when Honduras was hurting,
mm-hmm.
and to bring a word in an impact to the nation,
mm-hmm.
There were more than 42 media, radio and television, transmitting live.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Most of them were not even Christian. So it was God,
amen,
putting the word, his word, in a platform for all the nation to be,
yeah,
touched. So we're really thankful for what is happening. There is growth. There's Christianity is growing in Honduras.
Yes.
And then there's a lot of violence. Honduras, the devil, I believe, has tried to judge Honduras. In 1990, it was called the House of AIDS. Like the most percentage,
right,
the biggest percentage,
yes,
percentage of people infected by AIDS.
Okay.
Now, in 2012, it's been called the capital of the murder worldwide. It's the most violent place in the world right now, according,
wow,
percentage-wise.
Yes.
So at this time, we know what the word says, where there is so much sin, his, mm-hmm, grace is manifest, is multiplied.
Yes, yes.
So, abounds.
Yes,
so,
much more. Grace, so, much more,
yes,
abounds. Yes.
So that's what happened. Even the chief of the police said, after Honduras prays,
yes,
for the first time in 5 years, the crime level went down.
Amen. Okay, with grace much more abounds, we're going to bring in Stephen Evans. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because I believe that grace that abounds is just streaming and flowing, mm-hmm, through your spirit. Let's talk about your heart.
Wow.
I want to talk about when you heard the voice of God,
mm-hmm,
and how you've yielded to that obedience in serving this nation.
Yeah, the connection with Honduras was just an immediate one.
As you were saying a minute ago, Dennis, the people of Honduras are just unbelievably warm. They're very loving. And when we were coming out of Africa, you know, when you're with Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, I mean, some of the largest evangelistic outreaches that have ever happened. I mean,
right.
And you see hundreds of thousands of people in these fields, and there's all these beautiful people of Africa gathering. Some of them are Christians, some of them are not. Some of them are Satanists, some of them are animists. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them are Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you have a wide gathering and you see the presence of the Lord and just the powerful call to salvation. To come out of that, you're hungry for more of Jesus, and you're hungry, you know, to also take that gospel and in a similar way share it where you can. And so I was with my wife saying, Lord, you've launched us, but where are we going? And in the natural, you start thinking about, well, I know these people, I know these places, I've got some comfort areas here. And the Lord said no to all of that. And he said, I want you to go into Central America, which really didn't make a lot of sense at the time because my Spanish was zero at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anybody in Central America. But then just stepping out in faith and obedience, the Lord begins to do things. It's that way with all of our lives. You know, I think there are a lot of people who are listening right now. They want to do something great for God, and God wants to do something great with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you've got to take that step of faith and obedience, and then he begins to do things. I mean, the whole story about Light of Life International isn't we had a great business model or we had the best funding or the best strategy. It was just simply saying, Lord, it may not be possible with man, but with you all things are possible, and we're going to put our faith not in what we're able to do or who we know or what we can make happen. We're going to trust in the favor of God. We're going to believe that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that there are going to be doors that are going to open that nobody could open and nobody could shut. And we're going to walk through those doors, and we're going to believe you for victory. We're going to believe you for breakthrough. We're going to believe you to do things that are going to leave all of us just in awe of your character and your nature.
And then God gets the glory, doesn't he?
And then God gets all the glory.
Yeah.
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 And so that's what began to happen with Loli. And as I was sharing with you a little bit before, you know, Light of Life International, L-O-L-I, we used to call it Loli. You know, like it's sweet, like a mm-hmm. lollipop or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then one night we were just praying as a group of partners and friends mm-hmm. and someone cried out, Lord, have mercy mm-hmm. on Loli.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that, you know, lowly, it was like a lightning bolt going inside my soul that said, that's what I've called you to be. I've called you to be broken. I've called you to
Glory
be invisible.
To God.
I've called you to be lowly. I've called you to be hungry, a worshiper, a pursuer of my presence.
Decreased.
You that must decrease
yes.
so that I can increase.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And you know what? That's exactly what began to happen. Things begin to happen in the ministry that we cannot take credit for. We can't even explain to you in the natural. It's just like suddenly God began to say, let me go ahead and pick you up and begin to carry you into a destiny and a purpose that I have for you and in these nations that I want you to work in. And I would say that to your listeners today, that if you will let God increase, and if you will decrease, if you will take the lowly place, if you'll take the word says that God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. And you know, sometimes we want to pray down heaven and we want to take authority over this and that. But if we're proud, it doesn't matter what you're praying. It's God who's got his hand up against you, and you can take all the authority, quote all the verses that you want. If God's hand is against you,
yes.
you're not going anywhere.
Yes.
And
yes.
so, you know, but when you take the humble position, and no longer is he resisting you, but now he's putting his hand underneath you
yes.
and lifting you up
yes.
and carrying you. Not only is he opening up opportunities for you and providing destiny for you, but you're in his loving care because he loves us, because he cares about us.
Yes, yes. And I have said before right here in this studio, Stephen, that when you hear ministries say, oh, we're going to take this city for God, and you want to know what happened, you first have to take yourself to the throne room of God.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
For all those other things to take place and to happen,
yeah.
you first have to meet him yourself.
Mm. Absolutely right. You know, you can't call somebody else to do anything else until you've called yourself before
yes,
the Lord.
Absolutely. Yes. Right. Well, we have in church at Vine Life this morning, audience. It's not too late to get on the phone and call your sisters and brothers and tell them to tune in to 91.3 FM, right?
Amen.
Okay, now, brother Stephen, I want to call you pastor.
You can call me whatever.
But you know, it's so many other things that I see that God mm-hmm. is working through you.
Mm-hmm.
But I want my audience to be able to feel and understand the passion of serving the King and how majestic his destiny is for our lives. And when you say yes to him, it becomes like a domino effect.
Yeah.
That's what you're telling us, right, Stephen?
That's what I'm telling you, because you know what? There's nothing like life with Jesus. You know, and if you're listening to this and you don't have a relationship with the Lord, or you're trying to keep him at a distance this morning, let me encourage you just to step in a little bit closer, because his arms are extended towards you today as his VIPs. You know, just as an evangelist speaking, 2,000 years ago, Jesus stretched out his arms on a cross to pay the penalty that we would have to pay on our own, but for the grace of God. But today, he stretches out his arms, not to pay the penalty, but to receive you as sons and daughters, because he loves you and he cares about you, because he's proud of you and he has a plan and purpose for your life. And so his arms are reaching out to you today, Dallas, Fort Worth, because he loves you, he cares you, he wants to bless you, he wants to help you, he wants to restore you and release blessing, purpose, destiny into your life. And so we want to encourage you to come get on those phones today, call the radio station, tell them what God's doing in your life, the miracles that you're seeing happen, the blessing that's taking place in your life, because the word is clear that he who has begun a good work in you, he's going to be faithful to bring that to completion. Yes. And what the key is there, not that you're doing something, but that he's faithful. Yes. I mean, how many times do we read in scriptures that even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. Amen. Because he cannot deny himself. Yes. Friends, we serve a faithful God, a loving God, a supernaturally powerful God. And there is no better place than being at the feet of Jesus this morning, letting him minister to you, letting him love on you, because he loves you so very, very much.
Yes, yes. And those that he has called, and he's called us all. Mm. Amen.
Amen.
He's chosen some. And I want you to know, audience, if you're one of the ones that he's chosen, there is nowhere else you can go. You can go around that mountain 40 times. And I'm here to tell you, before you leave this earth, you will give your master, Jesus Christ, glory.
Amen.
Amen. He created us for his glory.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not like you said, it's not what we can do. It's about what he has already done.
He has.
He's already done it.
Prepared for us. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, this, you know,
is a powerful word.
We have seen that firsthand in our own lives, that as we have just surrendered our heart to the Lord, as we have just said, Lord, we want our lives to count. We're not looking for recognition. We're not in this to promote ourselves. We want the name of Jesus to be exalted. We want your kingdom to come and your will to be done on this earth, even as it's being done in heaven. And we were just faithfully just trying to tell people about Jesus in Honduras, and then, like what I was telling you beforehand, something supernatural happened. I mean, we got, is it okay to share this
story? I want to talk about not the sight of this world, but looking through the Holy Ghost, looking through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. Okay, audience, so get ready for this.
Okay, so we're just trying to be faithful, and the Lord puts in our heart, you know, I want you to do something in San Pedro Sula, which is the second largest city in Honduras. And it's where our crusade director, Dennis, who you've already heard from, or he lives. And so it was in our heart to do something in his backyard. And we're starting to plan this, prepare this. And next thing we know, we get summoned to meet with the president of the country, President Lobo, in Tegucigalpa, Honduras. And so I don't know about your audience, but I'm not one who's been accustomed to meeting with presidents. So I'm flying down to Tegucigalpa. I'm nervous. I'm like, what's going to happen? I remember sitting outside the gate while all the security checks were going on. And but we went in and we met with the president. And we're just sharing our heart with the president, saying, listen, all these things are happening. Media are starting to get excited. They want to put this on radio to the nation. TV stations want to put this on, you know, television for the nation. We're looking to suddenly call the nation to prayer. And we're just kind of sharing with the president what we're seeing happen. And the president says, listen, I need you guys to be back here in 4 days. I was like, well, what's going to happen in 4 days? He said, everything you're saying about calling this country to prayer, it needs to happen, but you need to reconvene here in like 4 days so that the vice president can be here, my entire cabinet can be here, my advisors can be here, and you can share that. Well, so 4 days later, you know, Pastor Dennis and the team went back in there and shared the vision, and they got all excited. And so we came out of that thinking, Lord, you're doing something here that we cannot even imagine. We can't even imagine the scope that you're doing. We don't want to put our fingers on this because we don't want to mess it up. And our position has to be one of brokenness and saying, God, whatever you want to do, you know, do it. Don't let us limit you in any way. So 10 days later, we get a phone call from the president. And the president's saying, listen, can I fly across the country to meet with you guys again? You've got to know, it's one thing for the president of a nation to ask you to come to his office. It's an entire another thing when the president says, can I get on the plane and fly across the country to meet with you? You know, there was this meeting at the Hilton Hotel in San Pedro Sula, and he had asked us if we could invite like the top 100 Christian leaders and organization people to meet. And so they had this gathering in the Hilton Hotel. They had all the security around the hotel, and he came and he spoke. And Pastor Dennis, what did he say there in the hotel?
Well, some of the concern of most of the pastors were like, oh, he's going to tell us about his party, mm-hmm. about politics.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. When he stood up, he said, I don't know how to rule this nation, and I need God. Mm-hmm. Please pray for me.
Amen.
And so the president asks for the pastors and the leaders mm-hmm. in that room to pray for him. Mm-hmm. So then a couple of months later, by this time, the momentum on this thing has just gone, you know, almost viral. It's so out of control. So we end up meeting in the National Soccer Stadium in San Pedro Sula. And it is pouring down rain the night of this event a couple of years. It's just pouring down rain. And we're thinking the event's going to be canceled. I mean, no one's going to attend. And the president on the other side of the country is hearing this from his advisor saying, you don't need to get on the plane. You don't need to fly across to San Pedro Sula. You don't need to go to that stadium. Nobody's going to be there because it's being washed out. And this is what he told his advisors. He said, you know what? I see what the weatherman is saying, and I see what the weather reports are. But here's the thing. There are going to be Christians who are gathered across denominational lines, who gathered from different places in the city and country, and they have come to that stadium to present Honduras before the Lord. And I know that it may rain all over the country tonight, but it will not rain inside that stadium. Let's go to San Pedro Sula. So the president gets on the plane. He flies across the country. He comes into the stadium. It had been raining all day. We were wet, but guess what? It did not rain inside the stadium. Amen. We're getting phone calls from all around the city that is pouring down rain, but in the stadium, and it's not a covered dome stadium. I mean, it's a World Cup stadium, but it's not raining in the stadium. Lightning, things are going on, but it's not raining in the stadium. And so there, something remarkable happened. And why don't you tell us, Dennis, what happened then?
Well, we've seen many great events and many big gatherings, but to have a prayer emphasis. You know, sometimes in my country, when you invite people to eat, many show up. When you invite people to pray, not too many show up.
Mm-hmm.
And this event was led to have a spiritual impact through prayer.
Yes.
And we saw more than 30,000 people the first night,
mm-hmm.
and much and above that on Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
on their knees.
Mm.
We took a special time just to pray for the nation.
Yes.
So I believe that prayer creates a manifestation.
Yes.
That is going to be seen. And we saw miracles. We saw the gathering of over 1,000 churches
mm-hmm.
represented
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the political leaders.
Yes.
We saw the workers, we saw the students, we saw the rich, the poor, the village, and the city. And we were able to see a nation come together.
Yes.
That was the very thing God put in the heart of Stephen. What if a nation can come together and across denominational lines, politic lines,
mm-hmm.
and just social lines,
mm-hmm.
and just humble themselves and pray? And that's what we got to see. And now I believe that the Lord is so interested in creating those types of platforms, because after that we said, okay, now what do we do? And the Lord keeps on opening doors to nations. I believe we started with villages,
mm-hmm.
with neighborhoods, mm-hmm. with cities, but now the Lord has opened the door to nations. And now we are on a roller coaster that keeps on going higher, that keeps on moving forward. And now we're hearing nations that are saying, come to our nation. We need that in our nation. So I believe that people acknowledge that there cannot be success in a life, in a family, in a person, in a nation without prayer.
Amen. That's great. Now, we're in our final moments here, so I want to just say this to Stephen. God and evangelism. I want you to have the final word before we go into our next show. I want you to define evangelism, because where there is God, there's always an imitation. And in third world countries, I have seen the power fall of the Holy Ghost. Now, this falling here in America, but it's just something about being around some people that need Jesus. There is a difference. So we want you to quickly define that for us.
Absolutely. You know, Mark 16 says that the disciples went out and they preached Jesus. They preached the cross. They preached the gospel. And that signs and wonders followed the preaching of the cross and the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Jesus. Evangelism is simply starting at the very beginning and saying, we were sinners, but while we were still in sin, Christ died for us because he loved us. And that is where it starts, that all of us, apart from God, are lost. But Jesus, who opened his arms 2,000 years ago to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sin, opens his arms again to us now to receive us, that we might not just have everlasting, eternal life, but that our life today could be lived out with passion and purpose and power. And so we preach the gospel of Jesus, not just so that there can be an eternal impact, but that lives can be turned around. I mean, Acts says this, that we preach the gospel so that you can be turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that your sins may be forgiven and that you may have everlasting life.
Yes. Stephen, that's good. That is just, I can barely hold on to my seat. But audience, you got to come back next week, because they'll be with us and we're going to go into deeper waters. Okay? So this time and next, stay connected to the true vine, which is Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, I want you to go out with joy this morning and know that there is evidence, good evidence, in worshiping Jesus. That wherever he was, there was evidence that he had been there.
Thank you for listening. For more information on today's show, you can go to www.vinelifeconnection.com.